Amen. I want to start again in James chapter 3. And I tell people that I should stop studying during the course of the week when I'm studying and I'm getting ready for sermons, whether it's Wednesday night or Sunday morning, because what I do is I just keep finding more material, more scriptures to turn to and things like that. And so, you know, the one temptation is to stop studying, but that wouldn't be good either, I don't believe. So here we are. James chapter 3, starting at verse 1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we will receive a stricter judgment. Verse 2. For we all stumble in many things. How many of us can go amen to that one? You know, here's James. You know, James, the Apostle James. He's writing this and he is confessing it. We all stumble in many things. He's just speaking the truth. We all stumble in many things. So go ahead and look around at the people in here and go, you know what? We're all in the same camp. We're all in the same camp. You know? But now, I love something. He doesn't leave us there that we all stumble in many things. Oh, that's it. No, he doesn't leave us there. He then does something. If anyone, for we all stumble in many things, if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a mature man, able also to bridle the whole body. James does something. He points to a truth that we can use in overcoming those areas that we stumble. Turn and look at somebody and say, this is good news. How many of you don't like stumbling? How many of you don't like stubbing your toe? How many of you don't care for those things at all? Well, what James is doing is he's telling here, I've got something for you that will give you the ability to bridle and control your whole body. And aren't you glad you don't have to sift through 500 things? He goes to the one thing that it is. If we will not stumble in word. Not stumble in word. Years ago, this is funny to me. It might not be anybody else, but it's going to be part of this right here. Guy Dunnick was here ministering and teaching, and Guy is a great teacher. He is one of the best teachers I have ever heard. And I don't know how it all took place, but the question was asked, how do we get there? You know, in his sermon as he was going along, the question, how do we get there? You know, how do we get here? I think that was better how it was. How did we get here? And somebody from the congregation said, you went there. Down in Pine Ridge one time, I left Kyle. Every Sunday night, I'd drive from Rushville up to Kyle, and I went to Kyle. And then it's dark, and I'm headed home, and I'm taking the route home. I'm going home, man. I've done this multiple times. I did that trip back and forth for 3 years, and I know the road, and I'm going down the road. And all of a sudden, I look up, there's a sign that says, Wombly. My first thought is, where the heck is Wombly? And the second one is, what am I doing here? Well, guess what? I went there. Somewhere along the line, I made a wrong turn, or I missed a turn that I was supposed to take. But what's fair to say, I know how I got there. I went there. Do you ever wonder how you got where you are? You went there. I remember one time, many of you have heard this, not all of you had, but we're at home. I got more stories like this than I care to admit, but we're at home, and we have four children at this time, not five, just four. And I got dads with four children stereotyped. They go to work, they come home, they kick the dog on the way in the door. They're kind of blah, they're just big grouches. They're just grumpy, you know, and it's just all work and drudgery and do-do-do-do-do. And I'm going, that's not my life. That is not my life. I don't fit the stereotype picture that I had of dad with four kids. So I turn and I ask my wife, I said, honey, we got four kids. How did that happen? And she goes, I'll buy you a book. No. I got that part figured out. You know, it's just, sometimes you find yourself somewhere and you're surprised how it happened. But we went there. And anybody, in, are you at a place in life and you don't like where you are? Now, let me say this. There are some times that things happen in life that we did not ask for. We did not want. They are not welcome. We did not invite them in. Amen? I think of the scripture where the young man, he was born blind. And they asked the question, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? The Message Bible is really good on this verse of scripture. It's the last verse in John. No, it's the first verse in the Gospel of John, chapter 9, verse 1. Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus said in the Message Bible, you're asking the wrong question. You're looking to fix blame. There is no such cause or effect here. Look instead to what God can do. That is so good, you guys. That is so good to get a hold of it. In your own life, you know, take responsibility. But then don't let the devil just beat on you and cause you to fix blame. Or on yourself or on other people. There was no sin there. Jesus said, there's no such cause or effect here. Do you know that sometimes stuff happens? Amen? And I need to say that because people will, they'll get under condemnation. Oh, I brought this on myself. You can't say that 100% of the time. But yet you can't throw this truth out here in James either, the impact and the effect that the words of our mouth have on our life. Because if you were read, you know, it, when we read the rest of this, let's just read some of it here. You know, I want to read verse 2 again. For all we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, in other words, so if somebody says the right stuff, so if somebody gets the right words in their mouth, he's what? He is a mature man. The word perfect is in most Bibles, and it sometimes throws people. Well, it's, I'm never going to make any mistakes. But a better translation is mature or complete. He is a mature man, able also to bridle the whole body, to have our whole... I don't know about you, but that is such good news to me. I am so thankful. I got so many ways I could go, but how many of you know I used to just have the most incredible temper? You know, those of you that have met me in the last 5, 10 years, 15 years, you wouldn't think that about me, would you? I don't think so. How many of you in here, you just wouldn't think I had a temper? You know, I got to tell you, I had an explosive temper. I was the fellow that threw the wrench across the shop, walked over across the shop, picked the wrench up and threw it back. I had an explosive temper, man. But then I got a hold of some truth from the scripture and I got God's word in my mouth. Love is patient. Love is patient. Love is patient. One of the biggest truths about love is it's patient. One translation says this, love is not irritable. Love is not irritable. And one day out in the woods, when I was taking a break during lunchtime and I was reading my Bible, I was this different translation. I don't remember which one it was. New English Version, I think. I was reading in it, and instead of saying love is patient, it said love is not irritable. And that word irritable was about 4 times bigger than all the other words. And so what's God doing? He's highlighting something for me. And then I came home, and I was so excited about that word, you know, irritable. And so that's going to become part of my confession. That's going to become part of what I say, what I get in my mouth. I am not irritable. I am not irritable. And I shared that with my wife. Guess what my wife has been reminding me of ever since? You're not irritable. You're not irritable. You're not irritable. And you know what? I'm grateful because I've got a partner who puts words in her mouth that line up with the words in my mouth in getting this whole body bridled and under control. I'm thankful to have a partner who will line up with me. And I don't think you've ever said that in a gotcha manner. That's never the motive in which she said it. She would just say it to reconfirm. You're not irritable. You're not irritable. My confession, okay, the love of God is patient. The love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, I never joke, as some people do. I don't anymore. That's grace. God, I want patience, and I want them now. You know that little thing we've heard for years and years? I have patience, and so do you. The love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the power of the Holy Spirit, and love is patient. Now let me ask you a question. What are you speaking about yourself? What are you saying about yourself? What are you saying about other people? Are you speaking about yourself that you're patient? I am patient. I am patient. I am patient. I am patient. I am not irritable. I am not irritable. I am not irritable. I am not irritable. I am patient. Anybody know anybody and you wish they would confess that about themselves? Hook up with them. Get and agree with them. How many in here you wish you were saying that about yourself? Well, you can. You can. You can, and it's all biblical. It's all scriptural. I am patient. Love is patient. The love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the power of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, I am patient. 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 I got a job working in a nursing home. Toughest job I ever had. I worked logging and on the mountain for years and years and years. And then I'm an orderly in a patient home. An orderly in a nursing home. You know what? One day, an elderly lady reached out quickly and grabbed my hand to stop herself from falling, but my quickness to react jerked my hand away. How many of you know that's not the right thing to be doing in a nursing home when you're an orderly? And then the other thing that really bothered me with that is there were two nurses watching. And they also knew I was a Christian and a Bible school student going to Rhema. How was my witness at that point in time? And how was my behavior toward this elderly lady? They were all terrible, and I didn't want that. And I can remember going to work, and Diana can verify this. It was a 25-minute drive from our house to work. And I am patient, 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 I am patient. The days I'd remember to do that, I was patient. The days I didn't remember, I'm talking to Diana on my break going, honey, I'm quitting today and they're not getting no 2 weeks notice. The words that we put in our mouth can impact our body. I shock myself today sometimes. I'm so patient. It amazes me. Y'all ought to go, praise God. When we had our class year, our 10-year class reunion, I got an award for the most changed. I did. Most changed. My classmates could remember. I want to give you guys a picture of how powerful God's word is. My classmates could remember from second grade when John Reekman was dinking around as we're playing a softball game and he got thrown out and our team was no longer up to bat. And I'm in second grade. And I'm so ticked at John Reekman. I've got the bat. And I'm walking up to, and I'm going to crack him. What'd you just do to us? I mean, I got, and I just lost her name. The PE teacher, second grade, Mrs. Bitts. Thank you, Jan. Mrs. Bitts, from across the playground. Joel! And you know what happened? The playground went silent. And here I am. I'm going to hit him. If she hadn't... Guys, I had a temper. And at our 10-year class reunion, that story was brought up. Love is patient. Love is patient. Love is patient. You got stuff in your life that you don't like? Guess what? You don't have to search for 10,000 things to fix it. There's a place we can start. Somebody look at somebody and say, man, that's good news. Just think about it. We already possess the solution to our problem. Amen? We already possess it. Happy day. Praise God. We all stumble in many things, but if anybody is able to bridle his tongue, you can bridle the whole body. And guess what? You know, if you keep reading those verses all the way down, I'm not going to take time. You keep reading all of those verses all the way down. Guess what? You can bridle your tongue with the help of God. Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do you know God will help you with your mouth? He will. He'll help us. And not only can we, you know, things that are in our life that we don't enjoy, like my temper, but also I can bring things into my life that God has for me through the words that I say. And so can you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I'm listening inside. Go with me to two passages of Scripture. Romans chapter 10 and Deuteronomy 30. Romans 10 and Deuteronomy 30. And while you're going there, turn and tell somebody how happy you are to be here. And you know, make sure they believe it. Be so excited that they know how happy you are to be here. Romans chapter 10 and Deuteronomy 30. Get those to where you can flip back and forth between the two. I want to do something. I want to compare these two passages of Scripture. So we're going to flip back and forth a little bit. Romans 10, Deuteronomy 30. Did you get there? And it would help if I would get to Deuteronomy 30. How many of you beat me there? How many of you didn't? All right, let's just start reading Romans chapter 10, verse 5. Romans 10, verse 5. Romans 10, verse 1. Romans 10, 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law, that the man who does these things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Verse 7. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, there's Romans, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. Verse 11, chapter 30. I want you to notice some of the similarities in these verses of Scripture back and forth. And yes, I am headed somewhere with this. Deuteronomy 30, verse 11. For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? Circle that word here. What's a person need to do? They need to hear it and then do it. There's the hearing part of it. Hear it and do it. Nor is it beyond the sea that we should say, who will go over the sea and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Did you notice it? Who's going to go somewhere and get it for us in both of these passages of Scripture? Amen? Who's going to go? Who's going to go? You know, and you know what we're told? Romans said, don't say, who's going to go get it for us? Who's going to go to heaven? You know, who's going to come up? Don't say that. And then if you remember reading, But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. Where is the word of God supposed to be? Put it in the order. And we can put it in our ear, our mouth, and our heart. What did James say? We all stumble in many things. If anybody does not stumble in word, he can bridle the whole body. He can control the whole body. Praise God. Thank you, James. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Paul, for letting us know. I won't get to all those passages of Scripture, that right here, we possess a tool to bring about what God wants us to bring about in our life. And Ernie, I'm going to repeat it again. But if we don't apply, if we don't do what we know, then what we know does us no good. It's great to know about, oh, I ought to watch the words of my mouth. But if I never watch the words of my mouth, what good is it going to do? It's not going to do any good at all. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. What are we speaking? What are we saying? You know, I like Pastor Hagen down at Rhema. He would put it this way. Words are containers. Words carry. Words can carry fear, death, doubt, unbelief. Words can carry faith, love, encouragement, hope, victory. Can I ask you a question? What do you want to hear the most? Fear, doubt, worry, hate, love, joy, peace, hope, victory. What do you want to hear the most? Well, guess who you hear talk the most? You hear you talk more than you hear anybody else talk. You know what? And we really ought to get serious about this in this way. Heather Grace has got an incredible testimony. There's lots of crazy testimonies. Rick Wilson's got a crazy testimony. Rick had a battery blow up in his face out in the woods working. And Rick, if you want to jump in and share anything that I don't get right, do it. Or if you just want to take over and go, go. Or I'll just keep going. All right. He's out, I think it's about 9 o'clock in the morning. Battery on his Bobcat. Battery acid, bam, right in his face, in his eyes. He's about 15, maybe 10 minutes from the hospital. Gets in the vehicle, drives himself to the hospital. That took about how long? About 20 minutes. Had to get the dog. Priorities, you know, I just couldn't leave the dog out there. We men are so silly. I had to unload a saw after I cut my finger off before I could go to the hospital. I don't know what about us guys, but anyway. So I had to get the dog, 20 minutes, gets to the hospital, battery acid on his face, in his eyeballs. Doctors flush out the eyes as much as they can. They do all that stuff. But basically what the word is you got permanent damage. Third degree burns on his face and the acid in his eyes. He goes on about his day. What was part of your confession? No effect, no pain. First words out of his mouth. That night, he's doing a Bible study. And as Rick is doing the Bible study, reading the Bible and teaching people the Word of God, everybody at that Bible study watches the red from the acid burn disappear. Perfect skin. No vision problems. None. God's word is powerful, and when we put it in our mouth like we're supposed to, wow, great things happen. Heather and Michael. Heather was pregnant with her last child. Other than M4, what is his real name? Mikal. They all have M's. Mikal, Michael, Micaiah, Micah, M1, M2, M3, M4. I'm sorry, but, and his name again? Mikal. She's pregnant with Mikal. And she has breast cancer. Now she's got to go through chemo. Any radiation? Chemo and radiation. Multiple surgeries. Everybody told her, you will have to have an abortion because that child will not live. And Heather and Michael said, no, we will not have an abortion. And this child will live. This child will be just fine. And then they got really direct. They said from the pulpit of their church, if you're going to talk about what I'm going through, you're only going to speak words of life. You're going to only speak words of truth. You are not going to speak death. You are not going to speak fear. You are not going to speak worry. You're not going to speak those things. And if you come into the hospital room and you think you're going to talk like that, we're going to boot you out. Am I right? Okay, how old is he today? 11 years old. Had no abortion. Had no abortion. Little guy is just fine. Too fine. Too fine. Now, it would be nice if we could say that about Heather, but it just, you know. No. Life. And life more abundantly. Here's another thing. You didn't go around speaking, oh, I got breast cancer, I got breast cancer, I got breast cancer before you ever had it. You did not invite that into your life, but it showed up. Then what she did. What she did when it did show up. What do we do when those uninvited things show up? What do we do when Satan brings things into our life that we don't want? Well, I'll tell you what, right here again. Right here again. Speaking the word of God. Speaking life. Life more abundantly. I tell you what. You know what we need to do? Can I be honest? We all need to start getting after each other. And I know this is from God. I started searching for an answer for somebody a while back. Guess where God took me? Right here. To what we're talking about right now. This is where he took me. And I realized as he took me there for this person, oh, this is an answer that multiple people need to hear. And the other thing is, folks, we got to start getting after each other about the way we talk. Do you know there are certain people in this church, and I'm one of them sometimes, I'm very leery who I tell what I'm going through. Because I don't want them speaking their words of doubt and fear and death over me. Amen. I got friends in the church the same way. How many of us want to be somebody that they tell or somebody that they don't tell? I would rather be one of those people that people will come up to me and say, Pastor, I'm going through this right now. Will you stand with me? Will you get your words lined up with my words? And will you make sure that my words are lined up with God's word? Remember last week when I talked about let God set the standard. Let God put the bar up here. He gets to set the bar where he wants to set it, and then we elevate our confession up to that bar. We don't leave the bar way up there, and we keep talking down here. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's notice these verses of Scripture here again. I'm in Deuteronomy chapter 14. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart. Why? That you may do it. See, folks, there's this incredible truth about the word of God. You know what religion is? Here's what religion is. Religion, and I'm just going to push on Brian a little bit. Religion is an external force trying to force Brian to be a certain way. I won't.
He needs that arm.
And besides that, I think if Brian wanted to, I could be in trouble. Personally, I've told him that. I said, I never want to tick you off. But you know, that religion is an external force trying to make people be a certain way. Be good enough. Do good enough. Da-da-da-da-da. But you know what relationship is? Relationship is people loving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and taking him at his word and then getting his word where? In our mouth and in our heart. And then you know what happens? We do it. But it's not because of an external pressure making us. It's because of an internal life. It's because of an internal relationship. I am not calm because of an external pressure on me. I am calm because of an internal life that shows up on the outside. Glory to God. Amen. You know, hallelujah. That's what I want to say. Now, how many of you know I got a whole lot more scripture? I got a whole lot more scripture, but I'm going to stop right there.
Amen.
It just proves my earlier point made. What can I say? Thank you. Hallelujah. Guys, Jesus wants you to have life and life. One last verse of scripture. Mark 11:23. Mark 11:23. It's funny. When I was going to Bible school at Rhema, this verse of scripture is a verse of scripture that God was able to get into Kenneth E. Hagin's heart when he was on the bed of sickness. He was on the bed. I mean, he's going to die. He had a deformed heart, and he had an incurable blood disease, and he also had that disease where your body starts to stiffen up and get like stone. You've heard of that? You know, it just starts to get hard. Sometimes it gets people's organs on the inside first and they start to get hard. Or sometimes it's the outside and the body does. His was on the outside. But he's battling those three things. And he's laying on his deathbed, 16 years old. And this verse of scripture gets inside of his heart. This truth gets to him. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Now, in this verse of scripture, three times the word says is mentioned in what we say. Did you catch that? Read it again. For assuredly, I say to you, that one we're not counting. Why is it we're not counting the one that Jesus said? Anyway, that was humor, guys. Sorry. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, here's a little question for you. Do you talk to your mountain, or do you tell everybody about your mountain? You can talk to it or about it. I prefer to talk to my mountains. What are my mountains? Things that come up that I want moved. Things in my behavior, in my character that I don't like and I want gone. Sickness when it comes into my body that I don't want in my body. Those are my mountains. My finances. Or I could back up a few years. The lack thereof. I'd talk to my finances. Hey, Jesus talked to trees and money grows on trees. It does. The paper you got in your pocket, got that money, it came. Yep, tree's going to be involved somewhere along the line, amen? And being an old logger, I can guarantee you money grows on trees, especially the big ones. Lots of money on them trees. Oh, yeah, anyway, all right. Whoever, somebody go, whoever. Did I turn and look at someone and say, well, that'd be me. See, every one of us in here is a whoever. Glory to God. More good news. Whoever says to this mountain, whoever. You know, they got blown away at a tree dying from the roots up. Jesus, I mean, it's amazing. Let him set the standard. Let him put the bar where he wants to. He goes from a tree to a mountain like that. Peter's blown away by the tree that died from the roots up. Jesus instantly starts talking about moving mountains. Glory to God. And it wasn't just for Jesus to move the mountain. How many of you know you can move the mountain? I can move the mountain. We can move the mountain. You can talk to it or you can talk about it. I choose to talk to it. We've got authority in Jesus' name. All right. Whoever says to this mountain, there's the one says, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says. I found that God's word is true. And when I say God's word, I can believe what I say. See, that's a key thing. And believes that those things he says. I need to believe the things that I say. Believe that those things he says will come to pass. He will have whatever he says. Brother Hagin in his teaching, God spoke to him one time and said, did you notice the word say or says concerning the individual speaking is in there three times and the word believe is once? We need to spend three times as much on our saying as we do our believing. Why? Because our saying is going to have a radical impact on our believing. You want to impact your believing for the good? Oh, yeah. Any idea how much verses of scripture are running through me right now? If a person doesn't bridle his tongue, he deceives his own heart. There's our words impacting our heart. What happens if we bridle our tongue? You know, Proverbs 22:17, talking about having God's word fixed on our lips. What's the result of having God's word fixed on our lips? So that your trust may be in the Lord. How many of you want to impact your believing? How many of you want to impact your trusting in God? Thank you, James. Thank you, James. Thank you, James, for telling me that I know the one place I can go to right away. The one thing. I'm so glad I don't have to go to 1,000 different places to try to figure out where to start. How many of you know, you got one place you can go to right now. Right now. How'd we get here? Where the heck is Wombly? Honey, how'd we end up with four kids? You know? Sometimes we end up at places and we wonder how we got there. I tell you what, I know what we can do about it when we kind of like, oh, wait a second. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Let me speak your word. Let me speak words of life. Let me say that about my wife, to my wife. Let me say the same thing about me. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. Love is patient. Love is patient. Love is patient. Love is patient. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. Man, I found something good. You know, I got all kinds of verses of scripture for all areas of life. Fathers, do not overcorrect your children unless they grow up feeling inferior and frustrated. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that I don't overcorrect my children. Vaughn, that was your perfect place to say amen. Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. How many of you in here have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Amen. How many of you in here found places where you could adjust what you say? Ray, you can go ahead and keep your hand up. It's all right. You know, what we say about ourselves, what we say about our finances, what we say about our health, what we say about the people around us. Amen. Glory to God. Let's go ahead and stand up. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, Brian, you.